For those of you who were listening really, really close to the children's sermon by Darius, you get the old preacher this morning. In 320 AD, the Roman army had a feigned unit called the 12th Legion. They were notorious for their fighting skills and their training. Long time ago, they would be what we call today a special forces unit. In 320 AD, the emperor at that time, Licinius, he imposed an edict that all the soldiers were to offer a sacrifice to his pagan god. Well, 40 of the soldiers in this feigned unit were believers, and they refused, telling the emperor, "You can have our ability to fight, you can have our bodies, but our hearts and our heart allegiance belongs to Jesus Christ." The emperor, of course, became angry over this, and he ordered that in the middle of winter, he marched these 40 soldiers out into the middle of a frozen lake and stripped them of all their clothes. "Renounce your God, and you will be spared," they were told. Not one of the soldiers went forward and denied their faith. So the soldiers were left all night out on this frozen lake, naked, temperatures well below zero. Throughout the night, they huddled together and sang Christian hymns. When morning came, 39 of them had frozen to death. But there was an officer in charge of guarding the soldiers throughout the night, and he saw what was happening. And he was so moved and amazed by his fellow soldiers, people he had served with, and what they were sacrificing for Christ, that he went, stripped off his clothes, walked out on the ice with them, and then put his faith in Jesus Christ that night. Of course, the next morning, the emperor discovered this. And he demands this officer, the new believer, to denounce his newfound faith. The officer refused, and he was put to death that morning by firing squad on the ice. Then all 40 of the soldiers were carried off the ice together. Those 40 soldiers knew the meaning of sacrifice. This morning, we return to our study in the book of Nehemiah. And in Nehemiah, as we studied, has led the return of the exiles from captivity back to Jerusalem. And when Nehemiah arrives back in Jerusalem, the city is in ruins. Its walls are torn down. So Nehemiah sets about rebuilding the city walls and the city of Jerusalem, the home of God's chosen people in the Old Testament. And we've seen how Nehemiah, rebuilding the walls, gets the people to start rebuilding the walls and the opposition that he faces from the nations around him. And in today's passage, we are going to see Nehemiah sacrificing to help as the work of the rebuilding the wall continues. Today we're going to see Nehemiah sacrificially serve God. And we, as believers, are today are also to live lives of sacrificial service to God. If you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn over to Nehemiah 5:14 through 19. Nehemiah chapter 5:14 through 19. "Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year to the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allowance of the governor. The former governors who were before me laid heavy burdens on the people and took from them for their daily ration 40 shekels of silver. Even their servants lorded it over the people. But I did not do so because of the fear of God. I also persevered in the work on the walls, and we acquired no land, and all my servants were gathered there for the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 men, Jews and officials, besides those who came to us from the nations that were around us. Now, what was prepared at my expense for each day was 1 ox and 6 choice sheep and birds, and every 10 days, all kinds of wine in abundance. Yet, for all this, I did not demand the food allowance of the governor, because the service was too heavy on this people. Verse 19. Remember for my good, O my God, all that I have done for this people. Let us go to the Lord in prayer one more time. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would quiet our hearts in these next few minutes we have together. Remove distractions of the world, the busy world we live in. And Lord, just speak to our hearts about living lives, sacrificing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we start looking at our passage today, we need to look back and remember what we studied last week in chapter 5, verses 1 through 13, because our passage today is directly tied to that passage. Last week, some Jews didn't have enough money for food. So the other richer Jews were lending them money with interest. And then those who had borrowed the money, when they couldn't pay them back, the richer Jews were taking their land and even took some of their countrymen, fellow Jews, as slaves. Now, as we saw last week, both of these things were forbidden in the Old Testament law. And Nehemiah condemns and challenges the Jewish people to change their behavior, and the people do. And then here in our passage today, Nehemiah shares with the people his example of serving sacrificially, giving the Jewish people an example of how they should serve and treat their fellow Jewish brethren. So, for today, first point, sacrificial service to God means laying aside your rights as a believer for the interest of others. And we find this in verses 14 through 15 of our passage. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th year to the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, 12 years, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allowance of the governor. The former governors were before me, laid heavy burdens on the people, and took from them their daily rations, 40 shekels of silver. Even their servants lorded it over the people. Last week, Nehemiah had to deal with these Jews who had took the other Jews' money, took their land, and the people, forcing them to be slaves. And here, Nehemiah shows them how he himself had sacrificed for the people. Nehemiah had been appointed governor in Judah as the exiles had returned to Jerusalem. In our verse here, we learn Nehemiah spent 12 years as their governor. And during this time as governor, Nehemiah didn't take money from the people to pay for food expenses and for expenses for official government work. Now, at this time, governors under Persian rule, which Nehemiah was at this time, had the right to impose and receive taxes to support their household, to support their servants, to support diplomatic events they had to attend. Simply put, this was a tax Nehemiah had the right and authority to impose on the exiles, these Jewish brethren who had returned. But Nehemiah didn't do it. This tax, our verse says, would have been 40 shekels of silver a day. Now, I did a little research. That would be equivalent to about 200 U.S. dollars or about 1,300 renminbi today. But at that time, silver was very, very precious. It was a very uncommon metal to this time, at that time. So this number would probably be much higher. Let's estimate, say around 3,000 RMB a day. Whatever figure you come to, either way, it was a steep, steep price for the people to pay. As they were spending the majority of their time rebuilding the walls, rebuilding the city of Jerusalem, the people were already under this tremendous burden, financial and physical, working on the walls. And Nehemiah saw this, and he didn't collect this tax from the people that he could easily and had the right to take from them. Nehemiah sacrificially served God by laying aside his rights for the interest of others. Now think about Paul in the New Testament. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul shares about him and Barnabas having the right to receive money for preaching the gospel and their service to the church. But in 1 Corinthians 9:12 and also in verse 15, Paul says him and Barnabas, they didn't make use of this right. They didn't take the money. Why? So Paul could preach freely and not be a burden to others. Think also of what Paul said in Romans 14. Romans 14:20, Paul says, all food is clean. In other words, you have the right to eat any food. But in that very same verse, Romans 14:20, Paul says, just because you have that right, it is wrong to exercise the right of eating meat if it will offend another believer and cause him to stumble. Also recall, laying aside your rights, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, laid aside his rights, the splendors of heaven, and he came to earth, forsaking equality with God, Philippians 2:6 tells us, became a man for our interest to save us from our sins. So let me challenge you with this thought, straight from our verse. Don't be like everybody else. We hear all the time, everybody else is doing this or that. It doesn't make it right. And just because you have the right to do something doesn't make it right also. In our passage, the verses I just read, it says, the governors who were before me, they imposed this tax. But Nehemiah didn't do it. Nehemiah didn't do as they did. Nehemiah had the right, but he laid aside that right to sacrificially serve God. And when we lay aside our rights for the interest of others, we are sacrificially serving God. For example, I get invited to speak at several different places many times. I have the right to show up and not wear a tie. But I don't exercise that right because it might offend or stumble someone in that congregation. So I don't do it. Don't be like everybody else. It doesn't make it right. Moving on, secondly, sacrificial to God involves trying to please God. And we find this at the very end of verse 15. But I did not do so because of the fear of God. Here, Nehemiah tells the Israelites why he did not impose this tax upon them. Simply because he feared God. Now, last week, Tom preached and he talked about this a little bit. So I'm only going to spend a very short time on it. But when you fear God, it causes you to want to please God. When you truly understand who God is, it will cause you to have fear for God. A healthy fear, a reverence, and an awe, which leads to you wanting to please God. God, all-powerful, all-knowing, seeing everything, hating and despising sin, must punish sin. When we have this correct fear of God, it motivates us to serve and please. Nehemiah didn't impose that tax on the people. He didn't take advantage of the other Jews like the other governors had done. Was this because Nehemiah was such a nice person? Was this because Nehemiah was extremely rich? Was this because Nehemiah just wanted to be different than the other governors and stand out. Our verse tells us it was because he feared God, which meant Nehemiah wanted to please God. The Bible, Proverbs 9:10, tells us the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. True wisdom comes from following and knowing Jesus Christ and God. True wisdom is God's wisdom, not the wisdom of this world. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. True wisdom is trying to please God and living your life for God. True wisdom is serving God sacrificially. So let me ask you a simple question. What do you fear? Who is it or what is it in your life that you want to please in this world? Who or what is it that you truly fear? Because that's what you will want to please. Your boss at work? Losing your job? If so, then you will always strive to please your boss. Therefore, do you have a true, correct, biblical fear of God? Now, this fear of God is not a fear that hinders you and freezes you from serving God. It's not a fear that if I tell a little lie, God is going to strike me down with lightning at this moment. But it is a fear of knowing who God is, knowing that God hates sin, and knowing that sin cost God a tremendous price, the death of his son on the cross. When you as a believer fear God in the correct way, you will want to know and live for God, which will give you the motivation to serve sacrificially. Moving on, our third point for today. Sacrificial service to God involves staying focused on God's work. And we find this in verse 16 of our passage. I also persevered in the work on the wall, and we acquired no land. And all my servants were gathered there for the work. You know the context by now. Nehemiah, as some of the other Jews were buying their countrymen as slaves, taking their land, loaning money at interest. What does Nehemiah do while his countrymen are doing this? Our verse says he persevered in working on the wall. He didn't get distracted with making money. He didn't get distracted by what's best for me in my life here on this earth. He stayed focused on God's work. He kept his eyes on what God had called him to do. Nehemiah's work for God at this time, as we've said many times, was to get those walls of Jerusalem rebuilt and to rebuild the city of Jerusalem as the exiles had just returned from their 70 years of captivity in Babylon. Nehemiah's work for God was to rebuild Jerusalem so Jerusalem would no longer be a laughingstock among the nations. And he stayed focused on this work for God. When all this sin and all these easy opportunities to get rich surrounded him, no matter what was surrounding him, no matter what circumstance came up, Nehemiah kept serving God, kept doing God's work. Notice here it says, Nehemiah and his servants, they acquired no land. Some of the other Jewish brethren we've talked about, they acquired this land from their brothers. But Nehemiah had a one-track mind. That wall has got to be rebuilt. He could have got this land from his brethren at very, very rock-bottom prices. But he stayed focused on God's work. And that focus caused Nehemiah to serve sacrificially. He didn't get caught up in the things of the world that could stop him from serving God. He just kept looking straight ahead, steady, continuing on, persevering in God's work. The opposition we studied in chapter 4 didn't stop Nehemiah. The sin of his fellow countrymen last week didn't stop Nehemiah. Actually, by focusing on God's work, it allowed Nehemiah to stay out of those situations because he was doing God's work and he had no time to worry about getting rich and making money. God's work was more important, and that was his focus. And as we continue to study through Nehemiah, we're going to see many opportunities for Nehemiah, time and time again. Opportunities and things that come into his life, trying to distract him from serving. But Nehemiah just keeps persevering, never wavering, because he stayed focused on what he had to do for God. Therefore, in your life as a believer, don't get sidetracked. Stay focused on God and your work for God. Our culture today, just like Nehemiah society, filled with opportunities and pleasures to sidetrack us from God's work. Keep that eternal perspective. Keep the big picture in mind. Keep looking at what God has called you to do and do it. Here in Guangzhou, there are so many things to sidetrack us from God's work. Business, money opportunities, a society and culture against God's ways, Guangzhou nightlife. Don't lose focus. Don't get sidetracked. What are you here in Guangzhou for? As believers, the biblical answer, to serve and glorify God. Some of us do that by teaching Sunday school. Persevere. Don't get sidetracked. Serve sacrificially. Some of us do that, glorify and serve God by teaching Bible studies. Persevere. Don't get sidetracked. Serve sacrificially. Some of you do that by being very godly mothers and fathers. Persevere. Don't get sidetracked. Serve sacrificially. Some of you do that by being a Christian witness at the school where you're studying. Persevere. Don't get sidetracked. Serve sacrificially. When you, as a believer, you don't get sidetracked, it keeps you focused on God's work, and you continue to serve sacrificially. Fourthly, I want you to listen really, really close to this point, because this is very, very in-depth. Sacrificial service to God means believers will have to sacrifice. I warned you it was very in-depth. And we find this in verses 17 and 18 of our passage. Moreover, there were at my table 150 men, Jews and officials, besides those who came to us from the nations that were around us. Now what was prepared at my expense for each day was one ox, six choice sheep and birds, and every 10 days all kinds of wine in abundance. Yet for all this, I did not demand the food allowance of the governor because the service was too heavy on the people. We know the context by now. The returned exiles, rebuilding the wall. Some people have lent money to others, and when they couldn't repay it, they took their land, and in some cases, took the people as slaves themselves. And in verses 1 through 13 of chapter 5, we saw how Nehemiah dealt with this situation and told the people what they were doing is wrong. Here in verses 17 and 18, Nehemiah uses himself as an example to teach the people about sacrificing for others. Nehemiah is the governor, and he has all these governmental responsibilities. Provide for his staff, provide for the officials coming from surrounding nations who come to Jerusalem for governmental business. And as we already saw back in point one, Nehemiah didn't impose, didn't collect the tax from the people to pay for these government expenditures. So where does Nehemiah get the money from? First part of verse 18. What was prepared at my expense for each day. The money came from Nehemiah's own pocketbook. He paid for it himself every day. Nehemiah sacrificed his own wealth and money. Every day, one ox, six choice sheep and birds, and 10 days, every 10 days, all kinds of wine. I don't know how much an ox cost. I don't know how much six choice sheep would be. I don't know how much all kinds of wine cost. But to feed 150 men every day, plus visiting dignitaries from other countries, could not have been cheap. And Nehemiah did it day after day for 12 years. And he did it because the tax, he paid for it. The food allowance, he didn't take. He paid for it out of his own pocket because it was too much for his Jewish brethren who were doing God's work, getting the walls built in Jerusalem. An enormous financial sacrifice by Nehemiah as he persevered in doing God's work. Sacrificial service to God means you as a believer will have to sacrifice. That doesn't always mean financial sacrifice. Most of us probably do not have the financial means to do what Nehemiah did here. But we are to sacrifice. We can sacrifice many things and in many areas for God's work. Sacrificing the time to share the gospel with a lost classmate. Sacrificing the time to visit a fellow sick believer in the hospital. Sacrificing the time and money to cook for a Bible study or the group of believers you have invited over to your apartment. Sacrificing your free Friday night to prepare for Sunday school class Sunday morning. Sacrificing your weekend off to go and teach another group of believers in another city. To Nehemiah, people were more important than profit. His fellow countrymen rebuilding the wall, heavy burden, and they were much more important to Nehemiah than having some extra cash in the Bank of Jerusalem at that time. And we as believers today, we're to understand people are more important than profit or personal gain. Sacrificing for the good and interest of others, whether in terms of finances, time, or labor, is more important than a few extra renminbi to spend on self. That believer in the hospital, unable to pay his medical bills, it's much more important than the size of my wallet. Those lost people at work who need to hear the gospel are worth me purchasing a few tracts and gospel resources to share with them. Those lost people are more important and valuable than if I can go traveling somewhere during the upcoming Labor Day holiday. That single mom whose husband was killed in a tragic accident, trying to raise 5 children alone, who just got fired from her job for standing up for Christ, much more important and valuable than me being able to eat at a fancy restaurant this coming weekend with my friends. When you as a believer understand and know in your heart that people are more important and valuable than profit or personal gain, you will serve God sacrificially. Moving on, we come to our fifth and last point, which is sacrificial service to God is easy when you know and comprehend God remembers your labor for him. We find this in verse 19 of our passage. Remember for my good, O my God, all that I have done for this people. Nehemiah, we already discussed what he had to deal with. And after Nehemiah sacrifices for the people, after that, Nehemiah prays to God here, asking God to remember his service and labor. Remember all that I have done for this people. Nehemiah is simply asking God to remember his sacrificial service on God's behalf and to God's people. Nehemiah knows who God is, a God who sees and knows everything. So Nehemiah is simply praying what he already knows to be true here. Nehemiah is not implying in any way that God is not omniscient or that God has forgotten what Nehemiah did. That's not what Nehemiah is saying. He is just praying, talking to God, because he knows God remembers and that God will remember his work. And because Nehemiah knew that, it gave him motivation and encouragement to keep persevering, to keep serving sacrificially. Actually, this is a very common prayer of Nehemiah's to God. You find 7 times in the book of Nehemiah where Nehemiah prays to God, talks to God, and asks God to remember. Here, 5:19, 2 times in 6:14, 13:14, 13:22, 13:29, 13:21. Of course, God remembers. He remembers everything. 1 Corinthians 5:10, specifically for believers and their service to God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. You can also reference the parable, Final Judgment, in Matthew 25. I don't have time to go into that. God doesn't forget. He can't. By his very nature, he is omniscient. And that fact, just as it did for Nehemiah, gives us as believers motivation to sacrificially serve God. No one else here on earth may remember what we do for God, but God will never forget it. As you faithfully serve, preparing a Sunday school lesson, week after week, year after year, thinking no one appreciates it, God will not forget it. As you go visit that older couple shut in who can't get out, God will not forget it. As you greet people with a smile on your face Sunday after Sunday at church, thinking no one ever appreciates it, God will not forget it. As you take a homeless person and give him food and try to help him get his life back on his feet, God will not forget it. Personal story. A couple years ago, I was in a little discouraging situation, and one of you here baked me homemade cookies and gave them to me. I don't even remember if I said thank you, but God will not forget it. As you live knowing God remembers your labor for him, it causes us as believers to serve sacrificially. As we conclude this morning, those who profess salvation in Jesus Christ are to serve sacrificially. Nehemiah served and sacrificed for those Jewish exiles who had returned back to Jerusalem back in 440 BC. And since God's word is unchanging and timeless, we as believers today are to serve sacrificially also. And we, as we've seen, we do it these 5 ways up on the bulletin, on the points. Joshua, if you'll just go through them, we're running out of time. Those 5 ways, I'm not going to go through them. It's just a review of what we've been over. There were 2 brothers playing on the sandbanks by a river. One brother ran up a large mound of sand. Unfortunately, the sand was not solid, and their weight caused them both to sink into the sand. When the boys did not return home for dinner, the family and neighbors organized a search. They found the younger brother. He was unconscious, with his head sticking out of the sand, like this. They started digging and clearing the sand from around the boy. And when they cleared down to his waist, the unconscious little brother, he awakened. And the searchers asked the boy, "Where is your brother?" Ultimate example of sacrifice. The child replied, "I'm standing on his shoulders." With the sacrifice of his own life, the older brother lifted his younger brother to safety. Sacrificial service. And Jesus Christ gives us the ultimate example of sacrifice. He lived a perfect life here on earth, yet he was hung on a cross as payment for our sin. For the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus Christ didn't have to do that. He did it because he served sacrificially. He did it because he laid aside his rights and interests for others. And that right and interest was our need of salvation. Jesus Christ sacrificed his life because he feared God, because he wanted to please God the Father. Not my will, but your will be done. Jesus Christ sacrificed his life because he was focused on God's work, a way of salvation for lost sinners. Jesus Christ sacrificed his life because he was the sacrifice, the one and only sacrifice that God would accept as payment for your sin and my sin. And Jesus sacrificed his life because God remembers and takes Jesus' sacrifice into account, takes Jesus' sacrifice life as payment for sin every time an unbeliever puts their faith in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. If you're here this morning and you're an unbeliever, look at the cross and the sacrifice God gave for you, Jesus his Son. Look at that sacrifice of love. Look at that sacrifice and accept it. Put your faith in it. Jesus' death as payment for your sin. And if you put your faith in that, you will be saved. Think about that ultimate sacrifice. Jesus Christ bleeding in physical agony, in spiritual pain as he took on the sin of the world. Having been beaten with a whip, being nailed to a cross, giving up his life for you on the cross. Put your faith in that. And if you are a believer here this morning, if Jesus Christ can do that for us, sacrifice his life for us, why can't we sacrifice time, money, intellect, energy, labor, to serve him? Sacrificial service found at the cross and in Jesus' death. Jesus sacrificed his life not only to save us, but to empower us to go and live lives of sacrificial service for him. My challenge for you this week, go and serve sacrificially. Let us close in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, and Lord, I just pray for any unbelievers here this morning. I pray that you would touch their hearts, convict them of sin, and that they would look at that cross and see you hanging there and dying for them. And that your Holy Spirit would draw them to yourself, and they would put their faith in you. Lord, if there's anyone like that here this morning, give them the courage to take that step of faith. If they need to talk to someone, let them know there are people all throughout here that can talk to them. Myself, Darius, deacons, prayer ministry, many, many people who would be willing to sit down and show them what the Bible says about how they can be saved. And dear Heavenly Father, for us who are believers here this morning, I look at my own life and I look at my own selfishness. I look at the many times where I didn't serve sacrificially when the opportunity arose. Lord, I thank you for convicting me of those opportunities. And Lord, help me to live my life for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.